What's up, everybody? This is the Give Me Understanding podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Dodson. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back. Psalm 119, verse 34, best describes this podcast. The psalmist wrote in the long ago, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text, and I do my best to help others understand it. I'm going to continue in this episode with what I started some time ago regarding behavior to model from what we call the model prayer. If you're able to open to Matthew chapter 6, locate Matthew chapter 6, and we'll meditate upon the words of the model prayer that Jesus gave. In the first installment of this little series, I discussed how we are to model behavior that is indicative of a special and intimate relationship with God in heaven, God the Father. We have a special relationship with Him as His children, as His people, as Christians. God is our Father in heaven. But the second behavior that I want us to consider that Jesus teaches that we are to model, not only in the way that we pray, but in our lives, is from the second phrase of this model prayer, "Hallowed be your name." Now keep in mind, Jesus has said that we are not to do our good deeds before others to be seen by them. He says the people of His day were noted for doing that. He said to pray secretively, and God will reward you. Don't pray to be seen by others. Don't blow a trumpet before you when you do a good deed. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your Father will reward you. And right along with that is the idea of being reverent toward God. Reverence. Hallowed be your name. When was the last time you heard that prayed in a prayer? Perhaps you prayed it. Perhaps you heard someone say that exact line. It's a very good line to pray, a sentiment to pray, when it is spoken with purpose and meaning and godly intent. Hallowed be your name. The behavior that we're to model from that great truth is reverence for Almighty God. And in this context, Jesus is discussing prayer. And if we're to pray to God in a way that's reverent, hallowing His name, that would mean that we do not take prayer to be some casual routine that gives some kind of passing homage to God, but instead, our prayer should be in reverence and in awe, appreciation, honor, and adoration for God. It started out, the prayer did, with "Our Father in heaven." And then it continues, "Hallowed be your name." So prayer is not a casual routine. It's a great privilege and responsibility for God's children to enter the throne room. And when we enter God's throne room through Christ in prayer, we recognize how holy, great, and awesome God's name is. God's name signifies so much more than just His names, His titles. It represents all that He is, His character, His plan, His will. And it's not because we simply know these titles that we love and trust God, but because we know His character. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 9, verse 10, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 9, verse 10. So God's name is seen in His faithfulness. Another passage, Psalm 7, verse 17. David declared, "I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." In the typical form of Hebrew poetry, God's righteousness and His name are paralleled. And that shows their equivalence. The psalmist also said, Psalm 20, verse 7, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust or boast in the name of the Lord our God. He had more in mind than just the title by which God is called. He was speaking of the fullness of God's person, who He is. And so when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, we're not merely just thinking of one title. Although those titles, every one of them, they show something important. We think of what they show, and we're to meditate upon those things. Different facets, if you will, of His character and His will. For example, in Scripture, He is called Elohim. The idea is creator God. El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. And there are many others. That's just a short list I have right here before me. And each of these names speak of God's attributes. And they tell us what He's like. We fully know what God is like, at least to the fullest that we are able to while on earth, when we view and learn of Jesus Christ. You remember how Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He also said, I manifested your name, Father, to the men whom you gave me out of the world, John 17:6. Everything that Jesus Christ did on earth as the Son of God manifested God's name. I have manifested your name to the men that you gave me out of the world. Jesus Christ is the perfect manifestation of God and God's nature and God's glory. John 1:14. Jesus was the perfect manifestation of God's name. And when we think, hallowed be your name, we think of all these things, not merely one name, but what they mean to us. His grace, His power, His knowledge, His love, His mercy, His creation, His Son, His salvation, all of these things. Hallowed be your name. Let's consider the word hallowed. That's somewhat of an archaic English word, and it's used to translate a form of a Greek word that means to make holy. Words from the same root are translated holy or saint, sanctified, sanctification. As God's people, we're commanded to be holy, 1 Peter 1:16. God is acknowledged as being holy. 1 Peter 1:16. That's the meaning of praying, hallowed be your name. It's to attribute to God the holiness that already is and that always has been, supremely and uniquely His. Only He is to be revered in this way. To hallow His great name is to revere His name, to honor Him, to glorify Him, and to obey Him as the only one who is singularly perfect and awesome and worthy of worship. Think about that. When we pray, we are praying to God who is like no other. When we sanctify Christ in our hearts, and we're taught to do that in 1 Peter 3:15, to set Him apart as holy. When we do that, we sanctify Him in our lives and by the way that we live. And we hallow His name by having true knowledge about Him. False ideas and false beliefs about God are irreverent to Him. We're not to use His name uselessly. We're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. We're to only love those things that are true and right, those things that are revealed to us about God. Our Father's name is most hallowed, though, I believe, when we behave in conformity to His will. For us as Christians to live in disobedience to God is to take His name in vain, claiming to serve Him, that He is our Lord, when we don't follow Him. You remember Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven," Matthew 7:21. Hallowing God's name is whatever we eat, whatever we drink, we're to do it to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. To hallow His name would also include attracting others to Him by our commitment to Him. And we do that by letting our light shine in such a way that others will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And so when we pray reverently, "Hallowed be Your name," certainly we are showing that God has top priority, or is top priority, in our lives. He's not merely one of the most important things. He's not merely an important, or is an important person. He is the sole important one, the most top priority. Hallowed be Your name. When's the last time we said that from the heart in prayer? Perhaps when we open our prayers up, we say, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day and for all of our many blessings." Or we immediately say, "Father in heaven, please help me as I go through this problem. And please be with those that are having surgery. And be with my mom, my grandmother, my cousin, my wife, my husband. Be with me." And that's not wrong. It's showing our dependency upon Him. Perhaps it would better help our minds to petition Him of things if we began with, "Our Father in heaven, holy is Your name. Great and mighty is Your name. Awesome and reverend is Your name. No one deserves the glory that You do. Father in heaven, You are most mighty." Perhaps we might pray, "Father in heaven, the Most High God, we come before You." We're acknowledging Him, that there is no one like Jehovah God. And it's so special. It's so awesome that we get to call Him our Father. And that's indicative of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We enjoy that because of Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him. Thus we call God, the first person, our Father in heaven. But then as we approach Him in prayer, we do so with reverence. Now Hebrews 4 mentions that we're to come before the throne of God with boldness. You remember that passage? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Is boldness being brash? No, it's not. It is not. What is being bold? You know, in our day and time, we think, "Whoa, he was bold because he told it like it was." The idea of boldness is confidence. Appearing before someone who is great and mighty, not carelessly or brashly or irreverently. We dare not do that. But appearing before God in His throne room confidently. And when we come in confidence, we say, "Hallowed be Your name." Think about that. Think of the balance and the beauty in that. We come with confidence. We know He loves us. We know He wants to hear us. He's told us to come to Him in prayer. We know that we have access, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, because of His Son. We know He hears us. But when we do it with reverence. We come with confidence and reverence. "Father, hear my prayer. Hallowed, great and mighty is Your name." Think about that the next time you pray. I hope this has been a benefit to you. If it has, share this episode with others. I hope that in some way it's motivated you in your prayers to soak up God's holiness and the great privilege that it is to come in His presence into the throne room as His child. through Jesus Christ, Hebrews 4:14-16, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, not that we may be braggadocious or irreverent, absolutely not. We come with confidence that we may obtain mercy because our Father knows we need it. And grace to help because our Father knows we need it. Grace to help in time of need. God knows we are often in times of need. We always need Him, don't we? And thus we come to Him in prayer, acknowledging that great relationship as our Father in heaven and with reverence. Hallowed be Your name. Thanks for tuning in to the Give Me Understanding podcast for this brief episode. Hope it's been beneficial to you and look forward to more episodes regarding this prayer. God bless, and we'll catch you next time.